This is a Triple J podcast.
Hello, welcome back to the Science with Dr. Carl podcast. My name is Lucy Smith and we are bringing you some real special treats over summer, particularly if you are voting in this year's Triple J Hottest 100. Putting together your shortlist, thinking about the songs that have had some big moments for you this year, and we are going to be giving you some inspiration with some of the science behind these songs. We're going to look at some of the lyrics and see if they really hold up scientifically. Let's go. So, Dr. Carl, something that we did last year at our live show, Science with Dr. Carl Live, sold out at the Enmore Theatre, was that we got into some of the science of lyrics. How do you feel about, you know, listening to music in this way and kind of seeing if the science stacks up against it?
It doubles the enjoyment. I love a rainbow when you see the rainbow and you go, oh my God, that's so beautiful. And then when the intellectual side goes, oh, I know why there's red on this side and blue on that side, you double the enjoyment. So I'm looking forward to having double the fun from the music.
Well, we're going to start here with a record that dropped in 2025, the album from Tame Impala. It's called Deadbeat, particularly this song, Dracula. So that line, Dr. Carl, run from the sun like Dracula. I want to know, how fast would you need to run in order to outrun the sun as it's rising?
At the equator, 1,600 kilometres an hour. At the north and south pole, depending on the time of year, about 3 metres per 24 hours. So it's a lot less. And in between is in between. And in fact, we have actually done that. So once upon a time, there was an eclipse going to be running across the face of the Earth. And we had a supersonic jetliner for passengers, not just for the military. It could do 2,200 kilometres an hour, which is faster than the 1,600 kilometres an hour you need at the equator. And so they flew up with all their scientists and they had cameras and telescopes pointing out the windows. And they stayed in that little dot of the Earth's, moon's shadow on the Earth. They stayed in that little dot for several hours, travelling at something like 1,300 or 1,400 kilometres an hour. So the answer, how fast would you need to run to outrun the sun? 1,600 kilometres an hour at the equator, and less as you get closer to the poles.
I love that, because this song is all about, you know, staying up after a sesh, you know what I mean? Mm. After a duel, for after a party, and running away from the sun. You want to keep the party going. So 1,600
kilometres an hour at the equator.
To keep the good times going.
Yeah, but then on the other hand, you need the vibe, man, because you do tend to follow your biorhythms. And when you're in that sort of puberty to 21-year-old thing, you can stay up and do a midnight to dawn easily. After that, you sort of need to concentrate and have something special going, like somebody you love very much.
Mm. Another song that has absolutely taken the globe by storm has been Ray's Where Is My Husband? And she says, and we know that feeling, right? What is happening in our body when we can literally feel our heart yearning, breaking for someone? It feels like there's a physical reaction.
It is weird, isn't it? We do intellectually know that thought apparently happens in the brain and not in the heart, but we're beginning to change that a little bit. There are nerves down there. Let's answer this by going to the worst possible case where bad things happen, which is called Sakaibutsu cardiomyopathy. So this is a case where, for example, you've got two people who've been in love with each other for a long time, and one dies, and the other one dies for no apparent cause a few days later. And this syndrome, Takotsubo cardiomyopathy, accounts for 2% of all admissions to cardiovascular units. And it happens to the heart due to emotions. So on one hand, you release these chemicals like adrenaline and so forth. They're called catecholamines, and they do two things. One, they slow down the operation of the heart muscle. It's kind of like stunning, they call it. You know, like you stun a fish or you stun yourself to be unable to act properly. And the second thing is they cut down on the blood flow through the heart arteries. And so the muscle operates very inefficiently and in the worst possible case can go to death. And it's caused just by emotion. Oh my God, emotion affecting the heart. And so to a lesser degree, you can have not something that would make you die, but your heart is not behaving as it normally does, and we're guessing that you're sensing this, and then there's a whole lot of chemicals involved. It is real, And it's a lovely feeling, isn't it, when you're thinking, oh my God, I must love them so much because I'm feeling it in my heart, which intellectually I know has got no nerves, but it, of course we now know that it does.
Mm-hmm.
And for no good reason, I'll throw in an extra. We don't know why, but the heart doesn't seem to get cancer. What they've got to do with this song, I don't know, but I just thought I had to throw it in for good luck.
Well, we'll pass that on to Ray. She might not have a husband, but her heart will not go through that.
Yes.
So this song has been everywhere, Dr. Carl. Kelly Holiday's Dancing Too. And there's a part in this song where he says, I was shot out of cannon over every moon. I was shot out of cannon over every moon. Let's put this to the test. How much force would need to be behind that cannon to shoot Kelly Holiday over our moon? And he's a normal-sized guy, kind of, you know, pretty buff guy.
Yeah. Lots. The magic number is they would have to achieve 11 kilometres per second of velocity.
Mm-hmm.
That is a lot, 11 kilometres in 1 second, like our planes normally do 1 kilometre every 4 or 5 seconds when we're going fast. So 11 kilometres in 1 second is really, really fast. Like it's of the order of 30-something thousand kilometres an hour, ballpark figure. And so when we launch somebody into space, we get them to the first stage, which is 7 kilometres a second. That takes about 8 minutes, right? Not the fraction of a second that happens in a cannon. And then once they're in orbit at 7 kilometres a second, we then give them extra acceleration for another couple of minutes, and that brings them up to 11 kilometres a second. So, okay, there's a bit of a trick here. For a while, we've always wanted to do this experiment, just for fun, of shooting somebody out of a cannon. And when I went looking at it, it turns out you don't actually fire gunpowder to boot them out of the cannon, because otherwise, applying the amount of force that you would need in a real cannon would kind of turn the average person into a thin layer of chunky red salsa on the bottom. Okay, right. So what they have is a combination of a spring that they release, and they fly through the air and maybe go to twice the height of the cannon, then land on a trampoline or in water or something, and a bit of gunpowder that a little bit after the spring is released goes puff, and you think, oh my God, they've been blasted out of the cannon.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, could they be shot out of a cannon? Yes, but if you wanted them to be more than chunky red salsa, you'd have to do it slowly over a period of maybe 5 minutes or so, so they don't just get squashed into nothingness.
Right. And okay, it could reach over the moon in that way.
In that case, if you can get to 11 kilometres a second plus a bit more, they could get to the moon. You'd have to then have some sort of way of taking them around the moon and back again. That's a different story.
Kelly Holiday, we'll see what we can do. We got the new record from Ocean Alley in 2025. Love Balloon is the name of it. And the title track says this. Floating high and going into galactic. So, Dr. Carl, I wanted to put it to you. How far in the galaxy could you reach in a hot air balloon? And when would the view be out of sight? How long would you be able to see the view for?
Well, I love the poetry of going for galactic, but we're just talking not even galactic, not even solar system, just boring Earth.
Oh.
Yeah, so I was lucky enough to see a launch of a high-altitude balloon from Alice Springs, and they were doing a few of them. And we were driving into Alice Springs, and we could see a previous balloon that had been launched from 50 kilometres away.
Wow.
It was the size of a football field, and it was just floating there in the sky, and the light was coming on it nicely from the setting sun, so it stood out okay. So you could see from a balloon 100,000 feet up, you could see 50, 70 kilometres, and the higher you go, the more you could see. So what exactly is the question? How far can you reach with a hot air balloon? In this case, a hot air balloon kind of runs out of grunt at about 30,000, 40,000 feet because there's not enough oxygen to burn the fuel to give you the hot air. So instead they go for helium. And it was an amazing thing. Like there's two semi-trailers full of helium gas.
Whoa.
And then there's this cylinder that they lay on the ground, and you can only lay it down once. It's made in a special factory in Massachusetts, and they lay down about 0.25 kilometre of this. It's thinner than the cling wrap that you get on your food at the supermarket.
Whoa.
And they lay it down once, and then they have these two men who are chosen for their weight, and they have to be fairly heavy, and they grab onto this cylinder, maybe the diameter of your head and about a metre long, and out is coming helium, and they just stand there holding it, and there's two guys, and they're feeding this long, skinny tube with helium gas and pushing it towards the end. And then suddenly, about 200 metres away, a little blib rises. And it rises, you know, 1 metre, 2, 5, 10. And it gradually lifts off, and then suddenly it just goes. And then it's hanging there in the sky. And they have to do it when there's no wind. Because if there's the slightest bit of wind, it'll rush across the grass. And it's so thin that the grass will puncture the cling wrap. That's how thin it is. And then it suddenly is floating there, and then you've got this one-ton payload, and there's these two strong, heavy guys holding it for about 2 hours. They get really exhausted.
Wow.
And then finally it just takes off. So to answer the question, how far could you reach in a hot air balloon? 50,000 feet an hour, atmosphere maybe 30. Helium maybe 100,000 feet, and then that's the limit to where you can go. So you wouldn't get to the galaxy, just our atmosphere.
And therefore the view wouldn't ever be out of reach? You would always be able to see it?
Be a different view when you're in the front seat of an SR-71. I've been in there twice, and you're travelling at full speed at 80,000 feet. The sky is black and the Earth is curved. You can see the curve of the Earth, and it would go higher than that. So it would be a tremendous view. And so we're thinking the sky being black instead of blue.
I know.
So that's a lovely thing. Floating high and going intergalactic, I love the poetry of it.
Oh, exactly. It's poetry. It's beautiful.
Poetry. We want poetry here. We want art.
That's it.
Without art, there is no point. Science doesn't have everything.
Exactly. You're listening to the Science with Dr. Carl podcast. We are taking you through some of the big musical moments from 2025, which maybe, I don't know, you want to vote for in the Hottest 100. But also, Dr. Carl, we want to go back because I feel like this artist has certainly gotten her flowers in the last couple of years, Missy Higgins.
I love Missy Higgins.
We love Missy Higgins. She's the best. She performed at the 2025 Arias. She was inducted into the Hall of Fame the year before. And this song, Scar, has just been a big moment in so many musicians' lives. But let's talk about one of the most iconic lines from this song. A triangle trying to squeeze through a circle. Triangle trying to squeeze through a circle. So let's get this visual. If a triangle and a circle were the same length at the widest point, could you ever configure one to squeeze through the other?
Okay, now you're going into the difference between straightforward you and me talking or fancy mathematics or being pedantic. So being pedantic, if they're exactly the same size, no. But if one is one atom shorter, if the triangle on its side, on its longer side, or say its shorter side, is one atom shorter than the diameter across the circle, it will just scrape through. So you're thinking, oh, well, that's trivially easy. But then I went looking into it, and this man, there are so many mathematicians that have busted their nuts on this one. It's called width functions, W-I-D-T-H, or, wait for it, Minkowski sums, M-I-N-K-O-W-S-K-I. And I started looking at it thinking, I don't understand this anymore. I'm in a strange land where nothing makes any sense. So a triangle trying to squeeze through a circle is a combination of complicated mathematics, obvious, easy to understand stuff. It's kind of like a quantum thing that Missy Higgins has given us, where something is both here and there, simple and complex at the same time. And I'm sure there's a third level.
In 2025, we got the new G Flip album, and there's a track on this album called Bed on Fire. So that lyric there, I'll fall asleep with a match in my hand, I'll set the bed on fire. Obviously a metaphor, but how long would it take for that bed, I'm talking mattress, sheets, bed frame, how long would it take to burn to ash if you did light it with a match?
Well, amazingly, I bought the first new sheets for our bed just the other day in about a decade, and there's a big difference. So if you're trying to set fire to a sheet, we talk about the sheet because that's the easiest, thinnest thing. If it's a brand new sheet, it's got no fluff.
Oh.
Whereas if it's older, it's got fluff. And what the fluff has is the fibres surrounded by air. They've got lots of surface area. So that's where it is easiest to set a burning. You've got old sheets that have got fluff, and any amount of flame, if it's just enough, will be able to set it going. A brand new sheet, which is all tight and compact, it'd be harder. In the old days, when people used to smoke lots of cigarettes, there were many cases of people burning to death in their beds. So how long would you need to have it for? I guess the transition time is you fall asleep. And you'd think that the cigarette, in the old days, that people used to smoke, would go out by itself. Even that would kill people. So how long would you need to be holding the match? I'm thinking of the order of you just drop it, and then you fall unconscious, or rather you fall unconscious, then you drop it, and if there's some light fluffy stuff, there's just enough surface area for the thing to ignite, and then off it goes. A terrible thing. Don't do this at home as an experiment, even if you want to prove how deeply you love somebody.
Yep, this is a PSA. Now, this next one is a little bit not safe for work. This next one, I'm going to give a bit of a content warning, comes from Tyler, the Creator's Surprise Record. The song is called Sugar on My Tongue. I'll let you kind of, you know, read between the lines there. And he says, don't need no air, I stay down there till I faint. So, Dr. Carl, how long would Tyler, the Creator, need to be, you know, whatting, holding his breath, in order to faint?
Well, funny you should ask, but just in the last few weeks, somebody has set a new world record for being able to hold their breath. And we know they hold their breath because they went underwater.
Okay.
And there was no secret cylinder of oxygen. 20 minutes. Oh, my God.
That's insane.
That's insane.
No oxygen.
They're not breathing. I mean, why don't they just sit down and have a cup of tea and a slice of cake, for God's sake, instead
Relax.
Of doing that?
Relax.
Yeah, they virtually doubled the previous record. And what they did was breathe pure oxygen for quite a while beforehand to saturate all their other tissues, so the oxygen could then go from their muscle into the blood and from their lung, from the blood into the lungs and into the brain. Something like that, maybe bypass the lungs. So how long could you stay? The record is 20 minutes, but that's with them doing a pre-breathe of oxygen and, during that time, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than being, how would I put it delicately, active.
Mm-hmm.
Right, okay, right. So being active, maybe half that time, 10 minutes. But by the way, here's a weird thing. The reason that you and I want to breathe when you're not thinking about it, is not because, and this is where your body is running it, not you, is not because we're low in oxygen, but you're high in carbon dioxide. The primary driver is that you're high in carbon dioxide, and one of the things that people do when they train themselves for this ridiculous sport where they try to hold their breath as long as possible, is to see when that reflex is coming, know that they've still got enough oxygen, and fight it.
And,
I mean, I wouldn't fight it. I mean, I enjoy breathing air. I wouldn't deliberately train myself to avoid it. But anyway, that's part of what they do. They get this reflex triggered by the carbon dioxide, and it's an early stage because they can still keep alive after that because they've got oxygen, and they have to fight it.
So maybe Tyler, the Creator, is so distracted by what he's doing, he's not getting that reflex to breathe, and that's why he's fainting.
I wonder what he could be doing that would be so distracting. Probably trying to solve Minkowski functions in his head.
Exactly. Yeah, he was wondering the Missy Higgins from earlier. 100%.
Yeah, he was thinking of it. Makes sense.
You'll find most of these songs eligible for voting in the Hottest 100 of 2025. Dr. Carl, have you submitted your votes yet?
No. But I now know that I should.
Now you know you should. You have a little bit of time still before we count it down at the end of January. Dr. Carl, thank you so much for taking us through some of these fantastic lyrics.
And thank you for teaching me about a whole new area that I need to expand my brain into, a mixture of art and science, because after all, without the art, there is no point.
That's it. Oh, big thank you to Dr. Carl for taking us through some of those musical moments. If you want to vote in the Hottest 100 of 2025, we'll chuck a link for you in the show notes. And if you want to check out more Science of Lyrics that we've done, particularly at our live show this year, head to Triple J's YouTube channel, search Science with Dr. Carl Live, and you'll see it all there. And hey, if there's something that you would like to ask Dr. Carl, we're going to be back answering your questions in 2026 for 1 hour every Thursday starting from January 15th. As always, super easy to submit your questions. You just got to do it from 9 a.m. Australian Eastern Daylight Time via the Triple J text line on 0439 757 555. And then we'll start answering them at 11 a.m. Australian Eastern Daylight Time. Please submit them. I'm Lucy Smith. This episode was produced by Josh Brennan, and we'll catch you next week. Bye.
Dave Marchese here from the Triple J Hack team. Hey, if you love Dr. Carl's podcast like I do, you might enjoy the Hack podcast as well. Each day, we bring you the news that matters to you, from the latest science on climate change to what's happening in politics and news around the world. The Hack podcast. It's your daily fix of the news you need to know. Get it wherever you're listening now.